Legislative Review Program. State Senator Jesse Green joins us on the phone today. Jesse, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Always good to be with you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this week with the Iowa legislature. You guys are cruising right along here.
Yeah, it's every week it's been some pretty heavy stuff that we've been talking about. Not a lot of stuff, but heavy topics.
Sure.
And it seems like every week there's one issue that's the highlight of the week. And this week was definitely medical malpractice reform. This has been a topic that has been an issue for quite a few years, a very sensitive issue within the Republican Party. You get definitely some varying opinions on this, and usually emotional opinions. I believe that they've always had the votes in the Senate in recent years to pass tort reform, but in the House, usually it would get tripped up. Due to redistricting and the elections last year, there's been such a changeover in the House that they just happened to get a few of the votes that they needed to get across the finish line. But to give a little background on medical malpractice reform, there's some issues that on the surface you have to ask yourself, like, why is it that Iowa ranks has some of the lowest numbers of physicians per capita in the nation, especially in particular OBGYN doctors. And you drive between Des Moines and Council Bluffs, for example, and there's only one place that somebody can be able to have a baby. That's a pretty alarming situation that's been happening in Iowa. Also, you're starting to see the closure of some rural hospitals. And like with many tough issues, there's not a single solution to any of these issues. But, some would argue that raising the Medicaid reimbursement rates would be part of the solution to making sure that rural hospitals are strong and healthy financially. But most people would also agree that frivolous lawsuits, or not frivolous lawsuits, but these extremely high settlements on non-economic damages lawsuits is something that can be fixed. It scares a lot of doctors from practicing in Iowa. There's 33 states that have some sort of cap on non-economic damage lawsuits. Every state around the state of Iowa has a hard cap, but in Iowa we don't. And so I wrestle with this issue now for the last year or so, and I just had to come to the conclusion that this was definitely one piece of the puzzle that needed to be solved in order to make sure that we have accessible quality health care in the state of Iowa.
I know last week, when we visited, you said this is going to be one of my tougher choices coming up this week, because you're kind of in the middle on some of the arguments over this, and especially when you have so many rural hospitals.
Yeah. On one side of the argument, they're passionate pro-life people, colleagues that I usually line up with politically on many issues, but their number one argument was that by putting a cap on these lawsuits, that we are infringing upon a person's right to a jury trial and to allow a jury to settle these issues. The common line in opposition would be, is it right to put a price on life? And, of course, these are very heartfelt and insensitive arguments. But, when you dig a little bit deeper into the issue and the legislature gives guidance on verdicts all the time on different areas. The reason for that is because in these trials, there's a lot of emotion in some of these issues. And I think most of us know that making emotional decisions, highly emotional decisions, sometimes you don't end up with healthy results. That's why you get some of these $75 million settlements, for example, that just happened out of Iowa City.
Sure.
And it's not based on anything but emotion. And so I think in situations like that, the public needs the legislature to give guardrails and guidance. And that's what we did with this week's legislation.
And this was actually part of the governor, when she was taking a look at her health care related things, had it in there. You got it had already, even as she was putting that, I'm guessing, out there for the condition of the state address, you guys had already knew this was going to get pulled out separately.
Yeah, there's two issues of tort reform that are talked about, medical malpractice, and then you have trucker tort reform as well. And I expect that topic is going to come up. I think that's going to be a harder topic to pass politically than medical malpractice and reform, but we'll see how it shakes out. And I'm guessing within the next few weeks we'll know if we have the votes or not for that issue. But this was definitely a priority of the governor's, and as we know, the governor has the political winds behind her, and so she got another victory on this one.
Well, that was just one of the many things going on. Any other things on the Senate side that what came out of what about your local government committee? What kinds of things were you looking at this week?
Well, every week my strategy is to run a couple of bills out every week. Some committees don't hold a committee meeting for many weeks at a time. They allow the subcommittees to work through their subcommittees, and then they'll have a whole host of bills that they knock out in full committee at the same time. My strategy is to try to knock out a couple bills each week. That way there's not a meeting that goes really long and gives people a little bit of consistency from week to week. Consistency in the Capitol to me is one thing I very enjoy because it's really rare to have a consistent schedule. So so I want to do my part to add to that consistency. But this week we just passed out a couple non-con bills. The number one goal of local government committee is to come up with potential solutions on housing. Debbie Durham is going to be coming in to give a presentation here within the next couple weeks. But the other thing is to make sure that we don't go against property tax reform. And any legislation that comes through local government committee that has even the potential of raising property taxes, I got to be careful and make sure that either I kill it or reform it so that that's not an issue. You know, we rank 40th in the nation in property taxes, and I want to make sure that although local government doesn't have too much to do with property taxes, I want to make sure I'm part of the solution and not the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so many times, and people forget, even when you do some of the sentencing reform, if it comes through judiciary, that sort of thing, a lot of times when you make changes in there, there are costs associated with that. And you know, a lot of times that gets kind of lost in the philosophy of some of the bills that are coming out. Property tax is going to be, let's just talk a little bit about that. Now, you guys, sure. In the Senate side, did you come to an agreement on fixing that rollback error, math error? What's happened there?
Yeah, we passed out a bill a week ago. What happened in the last 10 years, there's been some slight reforms on property taxes and how the counties and local governments come up with their calculations, and there was a slight mix-up in the Department of Revenue, and I still don't know the details of it, but all I know is that we allowed the local governments some extra time this year to come up with their budgets because of our mistake. There were some arguments on whether or not we should reimburse the local governments potentially, because since it was our mistake. But in most cases, it's such a small mistake that local governments, at least in my district anyway, are understanding of the situation and will go back and readjust their budgets accordingly. But statewide is about $120 million mistake. It sounds big, and any mistake is I don't want to poo-poo that, but at least in our district, it doesn't seem like it's going to affect our government. So the House, I believe, is still working on that bill. I don't think that they have passed it out yet, but they will need to. I assume that they need to pretty quickly in order to make sure that local governments have sufficient time to adjust their budgets. But then the Senate did come out. Both the Senate and the House have come out with their big property tax bill. Yeah. And the past few days, I've been having fun investigating the differences. The two bills are drastically different.
Oh, yeah.
There's things that I personally like. Of course, I'm biased to the Senate, but there's a couple things in the House bill that I do like as well. But the one thing personally I am very firm on, and I think the assessors get too much blame in this conversation. The assessor's job is to assess the values of properties, and we have a good system, a fair system in Iowa to come up with our assessments, and there's plenty of options for people to go to the assessor and challenge their assessments. And I think any conversation that goes down that route has the potential of increasing taxes on the lower income families, on lower value properties. Any caps on assessments, based on my investigation, is a non-starter for me personally, because I'm convinced that that's just going to shift the burden to the people that can't afford it right now.
Yeah, well, when you do the assessments, it's all based on what the market is calling for. And that's the formula that we have in place. And I don't know if many people remember, but if it's done every other year, in those off years, the State Department of Revenue will make adjustments if they don't feel the formula has been met. So again, it's a lot more complex than a lot of people think.
It is. It's very intimidating, but from a 30,000 foot view, based on my conversations with colleagues and my assessment of the two bills, I think in the Senate, the key thing to remember with the Senate property tax bill is that we want to diversify our revenues. There's plenty of levies that are not being as utilized as they probably could be. The Senate bill would trigger IWIL. That's the most controversial part of the Senate's bill. But it does it in the most conservative way possible. It broadens the sales tax base. 90% of the state of Iowa roughly utilizes the local option sales tax. If we broaden that out to everybody, that would increase revenues and be able to trigger IWIL in a conservative way. But the most controversial thing in the House proposal is this cap on assessments, to me, that's the weakest part of the House bill.
Yeah, I know, at least on the local option sales tax, of course, for Boone and Boone County voters back in the early 90s actually voted it into place. Specifically like for the city of Boone, it spelled out exactly what they could use those dollars for. So that would mean that all option tax would then go through the state? You would have to have a distribution formula for that?
Yes, and this is where people get very sensitive, because the state government sometimes doesn't trust the local government, and the local government doesn't trust the state government, and so then everybody goes into their camps and nothing gets solved. This sounds a lot like a backfill, and when you talk about a backfill, local governments start getting skittish because they feel that we don't own up to our promises. But what I am told is that the adjustment in the Senate property tax bill would make the local option sales tax mechanically operate similar to SAVE, for schools, and there's never been an issue with that. And so I can't go any deeper at this time than that.
Is a matter of figuring out exactly what the numbers will be and how they'll play out and stuff like that. Debate yet to go.
Oh, property tax is going to be the toughest conversation as far as politically. It won't be an emotional issue like some of these other issues we're facing, but politically, I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle this year, bringing this House and the Senate together. Whereas these other issues, the challenge is it's a lot of emotion behind it. So that will be the most interesting thing left on the table, in my opinion.
All right, I do know you were working on a couple of bills natural resources it was natural resources, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're right. The conversation is being had in the Capitol on trying to look at our trespassing penalties. Currently it's my understanding it's basically an $80 fine and you get your name in the paper for some of our trespassing penalties. And And I think we need to have a broader conversation on property rights. You know, lately around the Boone area, there's been some issues with drones activity interfering with cattle and livestock producers and causing harm. And so I don't think the bill has dropped yet. Senator Sweeney, who's the chairman of Natural Resources, she's in charge of, I'm letting her spearhead the bill.
Yeah.
And then, but the bill I personally dropped this week was in regards to out-of-state hunters and non-resident licenses. I've had some outfitters in the state of Iowa that have approached me on wanting some more a certain amount of non-resident tags that's dedicated for outfitters so that they can operate their businesses and stuff. And they at least want to have the conversation on if we could save. I think right now we have about 6,000 out-of-state licenses that the state of Iowa gives out. I think that's a fair conversation to have on just having a small portion of those be dedicated just to proven businesses in the state of Iowa so that they can operate more consistently year to year.
Well, I know that, again, we've talked about a lot of the different bills and things like that that are going on. Bottom line is always the part that will take a little bit of work is going to be doing the budget. So, and not too much been talked about that, or are they kind of just keeping tabs on the certain committees, ways, means, appropriations, things like that?
Yeah, the budget conversations will slowly start ramping up. I am on appropriations, but that's usually one of the last quarter of session is where that conversation really happens. But there's going to be some very sensitive conversations. We just invested a lot of money in education again. We have our education savings accounts that we got to prepare for. Within the next couple years, there's going to be big changes in Medicaid and how much money we get from the federal government on Medicaid. And so we have to be prepared for these big adjustments, but fortunately we have close to a $2 billion surplus. We should, these conversations shouldn't be too difficult to navigate. But I noticed the other day the Economic Development Budget Subcommittee met, and so when you start seeing some of these meetings, you know they're starting to hammer out some of their numbers.
Starting to do the early work on getting it all put in place. So for you guys next week, what particularly do you see coming up for you?
Well, I'm curious about the trucker tort reform conversation. I believe that we have the votes in the Senate for it, but I don't know if we're going to kind of hold back and see if the House comes up with something before we have our debate on it. You know, there's no need to unnecessarily debate if we don't on an issue like that, if we don't have to, or if we know it's dead on the other side. I noticed that the pipeline conversation is getting more heated.
Yep.
The last couple weeks, and I'm not sure what's driving that, why it's spiking right now, but there has been some talk within our local government committee that, on whether or not we should run a bill out of our committee to force the conversation a little bit stronger in the Senate. But I think in my calculation and my political radar, those are going to be the issues that I'll be paying attention to next week.
Yeah, well, just this week, we did have the renewable fuels session that was held. And again, they talked about the need to have the pipelines to be able to continue to operate ethanol plants and stuff like that. So there's you got a wide range of things to have to try to get a handle on here.
Well, personally, even my concerns have spiked the last couple of weeks for various reasons, and on this pipeline issue, because I don't like this punting the issue because we're, you know, should we change the rules in the middle of the game, so to speak? And that's a very common line that you hear, and it stalls the conversation on any reforms that we should or could make. And the problem that I just thought about the last couple of weeks due to various things is I think there's going to be more and more pipelines popping up all the time. And so are we always going to say we can't change the rules in the middle of the game and then we keep punting every single time? pipeline comes up, I could see there being a hundred different pipelines.
Oh, sure.
In the next 20 years. And so I think we have to do something now to clarify some of these vague issues that's in the code. And I suspect that there's going to be a big turnover, too, potentially within the Iowa Utilities Board. And I think the legislature must act to bring more clarity to the code right now.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. We know that. I think a lot of people would just be surprised at the number of pipelines already in the ground. So,
I mean, when you're talking this carbon topic, where is the end of this conversation? It could be such a thing that people are going to start, or projects are going to be wanting to make pipelines to every hog confinement.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows where this conversation is going to go? And so we need to act now as far as how do we want the state of Iowa to look here in the next 30 years, and how do we want our property owners to be treated?
Well, you got plenty of things to work on anyway going forward. So where are we looking at here? A couple of weeks till first funnel?
Yeah, I believe it's the first week of March, if I remember
right.
The nice thing of being a committee chair is one luxury or power of being a committee chair is that regardless of funnel week, I can drop a bill whenever I want, is my understanding. I think the deadline for individual Senate bills for legislators that are not a committee chair, I think that deadline is quickly approaching. It might have been this week or next week, but at least I get a little more flexibility.
See quite the volume right here at the deadline coming in. Quite a few of them come in. So a lot of different things going on. I know that I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us and keeping us updated on what's happening. Once again, State Senator Jesse Green, our guest on the program today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be with you.